you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey, I'm Paco Romaine.
And I'm George Chen. And we have an exclusive for our listeners.
That's right. On today's episode of SupDoc, we talk about the documentary The United States of Detroit. The producers of the doc want to give our listeners an exclusive peek at this film because it's only been screening at festivals.
So email us at supdocpodcast@gmail.com with the subject line Detroit, and we'll send you a private screener link that lasts until the end of September.
What's that email again, George?
Why, Paco, it's supdocpodcast@gmail.com with the subject line Detroit.
This panel was recorded live in April at the New Parkway Theater in Oakland. The film focuses on a few Detroiters like Pastor Barry that are making positive street-level impacts in a city famous for its negative headlines.
Even with its heavy subject matter, we had a fun, funny, and informative panel with the director Tyler Norwood and Oakland comedian Corinda Dobbins.
We also end it with a Q&A session from the audience.
And now here's our panel with Tyler and Corinda.
We exist. Everybody in this city matters. It's a matter of finding ways to work together to change the landscape of our city.
We can't do it individually, so we come to collectively put our money and our resources together, then we have a chance.
People are seeing opportunities and not letting anyone get in their way, and they're accomplishing things.
I just look at it as the cowards have left, and the tough people stayed, and they're making it happen.
So what we're going to do is we're going to talk to our guest here. This is Corinda Dobbins. She's a comedian and Detroiter, but formerly Detroiter. So this is Corinda. You guys can put your hands together for Corinda.
Corinda Dobbins. She has a show here, too, in the other room. And this is the director of the film you just saw. You guys give it up for Tyler Norwood. So we're going to sit down and ask you guys a bunch of questions about...
Kept going.
Okay. And also, we're going to leave some time for you guys to ask questions as well, like 5 minutes after we're done, if you guys have some questions.
Yeah, we got a microphone over here you can come over to, or we can hand it to you, but it's there.
Yeah. Tyler.
Yes.
Update on...
Check.
Can you hear him? Can you hear that? Yeah. Can you give us an update on Pastor Barry?
Oh, man. Okay. Pastor Barry is doing well. He quit his job at the deli, thank goodness. Good. And so now he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, which is healing the east side of Detroit.
Right on. Very, very cool. You were just telling before the recording, before we saw this, you were telling us that you were traveling throughout Michigan.
With the film, right? You did a couple of film festivals?
Yeah. So the Freep Film Fest, so the Detroit Free Press has a film fest every year, and they bring out documentaries that have something to do with Detroit. And they paid for me to come out, which was fantastic. And I wasn't sure if I was going to go because we're working on another project. But then we got into the Capital City Film Fest as well, which is in Lansing. So I was like, all right, if I get in a rental car, I can do 2 for 1. So me and Pastor Barry took an hour and a half each way ride out to Lansing. And we had an amazing time. It was the best time I've spent with him since we started making
that is a podcast into itself, I'm sure.
It was... If you've ever wondered what it would be like to travel with a really incredible pastor for an hour and a half in the dark, like, you go all over. I think at one point we were talking about how, like, maybe planet Earth is heaven because the average of all existence is space, which is cold and the vacuum of life. It was like, oh, yeah. Like,
what?
Wow.
Yeah.
You and Pastor Barry got
Pastor Barry and Joe Rogan, yeah.
He goes there real quick. But he made $1,000 at that screening. The people in Lansing showed up, and they took their little hat off, and they passed it around. And it was very, like, humble and cool, and it was really powerful to see, like, sort of the way audiences have been reacting to this one.
That's awesome. That's a great. Did you guys catch that? They went to the screening, and what you were telling me before is someone yelled out, "Can we give money to Pastor Barry?"
Yeah, I mean, it's Michigan, you know. It's like this beautiful older white woman with a little like Christmas sweater on, and she was like, "Can we pass the hat?" And I'm like, they need money. So he was like, and so they passed it around.
Oh, it was his hat.
He took his own hat off. And 10 minutes later, after we were done with the Q&A, they handed it back, and there was just like, I mean, it was overflowing with fives and ones. And by the time we got to the car, we realized there was like a few checks in there for a couple hundred dollars.
Wow.
So he had like $1,000, which pays their insurance for a month and keeps the lights on. And I mean, it's huge.
Now, I wanted to find out, how did you come to this topic as a topic you wanted to make a movie on? How did you decide you were going to make a movie about Detroit?
Yeah. No, it was not the first idea. The first idea was to do a film about bankruptcy in America, like what it means to let cities go broke. Because that for me was just a crazy concept that like cities, there was definitely a few that had gone bankrupt.
Stockton, right? Or
Stockton. Yeah. And then there was another one on the East Coast that had pension issues. But like the idea that like, what does it say when like three of them go bankrupt and there was a bunch of others that were like teetering on the edge? And it's like, do mm-hmm. we just like say, hey, you're in, you know, you're on your own. And there was actually a thing from Mitt Romney where he was like, let Detroit fail. Right. And it was like, they'll learn their lesson kind of thing. And it was like, man, do we really want to do that? And
no.
So I started going to like, I had this idea and I pitched it and I found somebody who was going to fund that. And we were going to do three cities. And Detroit's just got so much kind of like stuff about it that I was like, let me go there first. Okay. Right. Because if Detroit doesn't work, we're going to have a tough time selling Rhode Island and Stockton. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, right. And so, but Detroit was so fantastic that I was like, all right, let me do another trip. And then I'll do the other ones. And I was like, all right, let me do one more trip to Detroit and then I'll do the other cities. And by that point I was like, I'm just going to do this about Detroit. And then it became about really the essence of it, which was about community, right? Like I thought I was going to say something really intelligent about bankruptcy and like what it means to be an American. But it really, the essence of what I cared about was community. Mm-hmm. And that is all over Detroit.
Who's the first subject you started working with? Who was like your first interview subjects when you went on those first two trips?
Oh man, we dove deep. That's one of the weird, crazy things that I've sort of, to my detriment in terms of being financially responsible. I'll just go interview like a ton of people until I find somebody really, really interesting. And so we did a bunch of interviews of like the people you'd normally go talk to in the city. Like Slow's Barbecue is this really interesting guy who like kind of revived this one little area, but he was kind of already out of the struggle. He'd like made a little niche for himself that he was hanging on to. And then so we just started doing like, who inspires you to that guy? And then he'd be like, well, there's this weird guy over here who's doing something kind of interesting. And then we'd go to that guy and go, who inspires you? And they'd be like, oh man, there's this nut job over here. I don't know what he's doing. There's no way he's going to succeed, but it's really cool. Mm-hmm. And then those were the people, that's how we found.
Yeah. Just
our characters.
Through the chain. Of
yeah.
Like,
but we found the people that you want to talk to and said, who do you think is really cool? Mm-hmm. That's a good tip. Actually, if anybody's looking to get involved in your community, usually the first place you start is like, oh, let me go to like, kind of like the place that's most sort of forefront. If you go to them and say, who do you guys think is doing really cool stuff, they're going to send you to the people who aren't going to succeed necessarily. And that's where actually that's where hope lives. That's where you can really make an impact. And so that's a cool technique.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So Corinda, you're from Detroit originally.
Yes.
You grew up there.
I did grow up
there. Was there anything that you saw in this documentary that surprised you?
A couple things.
Yeah.
I think that first of all, like what was the guy who was getting the tickets on the wall? What's his name?
Yeah, Derek.
Like Derek Weaver.
The real estate guy.
Where is he from? Like originally.
His
he's
accent.
He's from the suburbs, but he came to Detroit in college and gutted it out, man. Like, but he's definitely our token white guy.
Yeah, just sort of a white guy doing graffiti and.
I'm an artist of real estate. That's
like
one of his quotes.
Loafers. He was.
I think they're Clarks. I think he had Clarks.
They look like expensive Clarks.
They
actually
seem like good Clarks.
Yeah, that was
sponsored content.
That kind of threw me a little bit, but I had not seen that.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was different.
There's nothing pasty white guys can't get done.
But this is the thing, and you know from being like Central Michigan, that whole thing, like
so
you can't be
guy.
A soft. Like he's had guns pulled on him. He's been like he's been through it.
I'm sure he was like on Buchanan and
that's right.
Warren, Grand River. I was like, oh,
Grand River. Yeah,
he's in it.
Is there anyone from Detroit here? Do we have any Detroiters?
All right.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
you got three people. Right. Okay.
Oh, awesome.
Four.
Okay. Okay. Awesome. So you guys probably recognize some of those cross streets and areas then. Yeah. So like we've heard about. gardening in Detroit. I mean, when you hear about Detroit, one of the things that people always say is like, you can have a garden in Detroit. The other thing they say is that you can buy a house for a dollar. I'm sure everyone's heard that, right?
They're giving them away.
They're giving away houses, yeah. And then there's opportunities from artists and stuff. But what is something that you found out that wasn't in this documentary that you may have heard of that are like opportunities for Detroiters?
Okay. Yeah, no, they have a lot. They try to give houses away to Detroiters who need homes. But I mean, it's the amount of effort that needs to be put into the neighborhoods of the city of Detroit, right? Like, so downtown is doing fine. Just being back there, Woodward is like kind of their main stretch. That's where they just put in a new like athletic stadium, and they kind of Kid Rock's got a restaurant there, which
I gotta eat there.
I'm guessing he's just edging out Guy Fieri for the donkey sauce. Like, this is
salmonella on the house.
Yeah, exactly.
But like, doesn't wear a hairnet in the city when he's of cooking the food. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. It's going off on a tangent.
But the neighborhoods are, the amount of, like, you can have a million programs, but those people just don't know about them. The amount of obstacles to getting to them and like handing them a pamphlet. I mean, you got to go door to door, hand to hand. Like, it's the only way to get that. So there's amazing programs in the city of Detroit, but you have to know somebody who knows somebody.
Is it like a digital divide sort of thing as well?
Or it's like, it's like there is a staggering amount of poverty in the neighborhoods of Detroit. Like, it is not a joke. Like, you know, the thing about Pastor Barry is he's so positive, but you know, he could go on and on if you asked him about how many people in your congregation don't have food or their water or their lights on. Yeah. Right. Like, I mean, and they go home every night and they live in the winters in Detroit that way. I mean, like, it's the majority of the city. Like, don't let the hype fool you. Right. Like, that's the thing about the opportunities is like, they're there, but like, the thing I've picked about this film that I think is really interesting is this film, I picked a 30-year problem. So it took about 60 years for Detroit to get this way, right? It's going to take at least 30 of everybody making the right move to get it to the where like, oh yeah, the neighborhoods are good, right? Like, it's going to take 30. So they can do what they want downtown, but it's going to take 30 years before the city is in any sort of shape that we could be like, yeah, that film's irrelevant now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I wonder why that is though. Because I just recently went back to Detroit, and if you can put $300, $400 million into a stadium into downtown Detroit, why is it going to take you 30 years to rebuild the neighborhood? Like, that's my question. Because my mom's street lights don't work. Mm-hmm. But I went downtown, and they got a rolling pub.
Right. Yeah.
With just, like, white people, like, drinking and, like, peddling. And I was like, what's going on here? Like, yeah, I don't.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, we have money for all those things. They rebuilt downtown. I didn't even recognize it. But my mom's street is falling apart. So why they can't do those things in tandem?
That's what Alexis Wiley's getting to. She's the chief of staff.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And she was giving us a lot of side eye, like trying to find the things she can say, right, without getting into trouble, but like also trying to spin us a little bit. But okay. I think basically the plan is to cordon off. Like, they don't have enough resources for the 700,000 people who live everywhere. They're going to pick a small circle and they're going to draw a line, and they've already done this, and they're going to put all the money there. And you're on your own if you're outside of the circle. And it's 142 square miles. I mean, maybe they pick 12 square miles. I mean, you're talking about huge, huge swaths of that city that those people are on their own, whether they know it or not, and whether the city government itself will ever admit that.
It's going to
be like Detroit and then the dystopian other part after you get outside of the fence.
And they're hoping what happens is those people move in, right, and get the density up, because that's like a city planning thing that has to happen. But the other thing they're hoping is that, like, those areas will be incorporated by other cities from the suburb. Like, it's a whole mess. Like, it's not getting fixed.
What? I think the solution, have you heard of the Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh?
We were watching this last night.
The less city planners. You only need 150
get
people.
Sheila
to
on it.
Yeah, we need Sheila out here.
We're a lot of orange.
Strapped.
Right? We've got it figured out. Osho. That's the solution. Yeah.
Paco, going back to, remember you asked me if I had seen anything in the film that I'd never seen before in Detroit. And to be honest, and I was talking with my aunt right here, she's also from Detroit, and we said we had never seen a pastor in Detroit who had a job. Like, that's never, ever, I've never seen that. All have, like, a Lexus and a Jaguar and three houses. And, like, so to me that, his ministering is like, that's something that we just, his is so grassroots that he can't keep the lights on, you know? That's something that we don't see a lot of. I've never seen it in Detroit. Yeah, the pastors are always well off.
Oh, really?
Yes.
They got the Osho Rolls Royce.
That's the one thing we do in black communities. We take care of our pastors.
Pastor Barry said that Detroit, he's talking about like square footage, like how many churches per square foot.
He's
like, this should be the holiest city on the face of the earth.
It should.
But he's like, we're not living that. And like that was the thing that caught me is the conviction that it takes. Like the first thing he'll do if he was here right now is talk, I give it all up to God, right? But I was trying to tell him on Saturday when we were in another theater in Detroit, I was like, you know, man, like a lot of people hear the call. It does take something to stand up and listen and move to the call. You know what I mean? Like he never will take credit for that. But like that for me, like in terms of just a character, like the whole thing could have been about that guy. He's got so many layers and the amount that he's sacrificed to try and make things better for a few other people is pretty incredible.
Yeah, that's awesome. So there's some like some themes that you're playing with, if I may be so bold.
Okay, yeah, themes.
Right? Or maybe not. I don't know.
There's layers to the cake, yeah.
I feel like decline, growth, you know, like
hope and hopelessness.
Hope and hopelessness, that kind of stuff. Was there something that you wanted to include in this doc that you weren't able to, that kind of went with those themes that you had to cut out for like running time?
Speaking of cutting things out, our editor Scott Fitzloff is here. Oh. It was fantastic.
What?
And he was able to get me everything I wanted.
Really?
we had some back and forth about stuff, but at the end of the day, I think we came to a pretty good balance of what was right for what people needed versus like what I thought was really beautiful and fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think we covered it. It was really like one of the things that I look at it now after doing all these screenings. So much of the work that we do as documentarians, especially as like a social justice documentarian, right? Like, is you're looking at people who heal others. And I was like, man, where do they get the energy? Because I've seen them burn out, right? Like that's kind of what happens off screen in a lot of the positive documentaries that you guys see is like these people burn out and they burn out hard and they like their personal lives are shot. And I was like, so that became something in this film that I was really interested in was like, man, like where's the fuel come from? And that's why I was asking Terry and Pastor Barry and Derek about like, you know, and then it becomes those moments, right? Like for Derek, like he can go for 2 years off the idea that for a day, the people in his community stood up and said, what you're doing matters to us. He can go for 2 years off of that. You know what I mean? So it's like, but it was just understanding the ratio and like what it really means to be in a community and try and make things better when nothing seems to be working. And like, what does it take to sustain you? That was something I thought was really powerful.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Now, so you had Alexis, who is the working with the mayor.
Chief of staff.
Right. And I noticed there wasn't a ton of like other like political people in this interview. Was that intentional? Like, I don't want to just get like this sort of canned press release kind of response.
Yeah, they do not want to talk to people about this stuff because, I mean, she goes as far as anyone for the record. Like, I'll pat myself on the back. Like, no one has gotten them to say what they said in our film, which is like, you know, people are going to choose where they want to live. And it's like, oh, for sure. Like, you know, she chooses to live with her streetlights off. She chooses that. It's like, no, like, it was a low-key way of her very clearly saying, like, we're going to make some things better, and if you can't afford that, then you should leave. And I mean, it's like, and they're talking about 700,000 people in that city. They're talking about 550,000 of them need to figure it out on their own.
Jeez.
Like,
and I also was hearing that like Quicken recently relocated there.
And Google and a couple others.
A couple other like tech companies have come in there, and maybe that's going to mirror like stuff that we were seeing around here. But like, I also saw a recent news report, like, because they're doing the train line. Apparently, like, behind the scenes, sort of like influence, like, it's going to be conducive to people that work at Quicken, possibly.
Yes, you know? Only there's a very specific corridor that was pre-planned. But again, Detroit is not worried about gentrification. There is enough to go around. Like, if you want to go there and you got a couple million dollars, like, by all means, buy up a block, buy up two blocks, because the people are going to be better off. Like, it's not there yet where they need to worry about gentrification. Mm-hmm. Now, if Kadiri was here, he would have a lot to say about that, that, like, he would be very concerned about, like, equity and all these things. But, like, honestly, like, as a person who's talked to everybody, like, they need so much that,
They do want that.
You could give them $10 billion and it wouldn't be enough. Like,
it's not here, is what they're saying. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, when Stephen Henderson says there's 70,000 abandoned homes, there's 50,000 vacant lots. I mean, you're talking about $1 trillion.
Yeah. Are we seeing progress with the mayor now, with Duggan? Do you think things are going better? Like, Corinda is.
He's good.
There's still some street lights that are not on.
He's not the mayor of my dreams. Yeah. But like,
I don't live there, but I've not heard glowing reviews about.
He gave out some construction contracts that were not on the level to his buddies.
Oh.
But like. He gave away the water. Ooh, yeah.
Many generations, like. That is what people always talked about in the city of Detroit, the water and sewage company, because Detroit controlled all the water that went to all the suburbs, right? And my grandmother and my aunts and my cousin, everybody be like, they want the water. They want the water. And now they have it, you know? And everybody was so upset with him for doing what so many generations say they were always going to come for.
And by they have the water, you mean the state government?
The suburbs.
Or they sold off to private.
Right. They sort of privatized it, right?
Yeah.
That's never a good idea.
Michigan water.
That always turns out great. Paco, what are you talking about?
Let's just give it to just people and corporations. They know what to do with that shit. You were talking about, you're interested in the gardens. We were talking earlier about the garden. I'm sorry. Well, I'm babbling now. When did you move from
Detroit? I left Detroit in 2005.
Okay. And was the garden stuff happening then?
They say it started in 2004. So maybe
somebody
it was,
will tell
it,
you
maybe,
it was happening.
Maybe it was in the corner and I didn't see it.
Yeah, exactly.
But they say it started in 2004 and now it's just like, how many, 1,500?
Oh, it's crazy. The gardening thing is crazy. That is a real option. Like John Gallagher says, this is the only city in America where they theoretically could be self-sustaining in terms of like agricultural food supply, which is a crazy concept to be able to have huge tracts of farmland like in the city. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Rajneeshpuram, I keep saying it.
You're there, self-sustaining. Man.
Yeah. But also one of the things that's happened in Detroit is that, you know, the Detroit Land Bank owns a lot of this land that people are farming and, you know, creating these green infrastructures. And that was my question is like, if these people do all the work and they start to acquire some kind of sustainable system, you know, what we know about the city of Detroit is that whoever really owns it, if it ever becomes a piece of property that could become marketable or is... You know, somebody wants to build a thing on it and, you know, they're going to take it back and those people are just going to be.
That's the truest thing you've said as a Detroiter tonight. Like
sitting out on the curb. Like
that is
the
really
land
the
ownership to me was the biggest thing. It's like if you can't, to me, Detroit should have a policy. It's like if you farm it, you own it.
Yes.
If these people who abandon this property haven't taken care
like
of
farm
it,
squats,
they can't come back
like
later and be like, oh, that was mine. You were just tending to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. like squatter's rights.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, and something else that's crazy there is like stuff that Kadiri would do. He would have a neighborhood where like there would be a burnt down house and they would go clear it, turn it into a garden, and then the police would show up and say you're trespassing.
Right, right.
And I mean, it was like an arrest people. Like this was the kind of stuff that's kind of gets to Derek's thing about like where are our priorities at? Like this is what we want to do. So yeah, that's for sure. But what you got to there that's most important is the mentality of the people in the neighborhoods, which is they don't have any faith that the things that are being said about like, oh no, we're gonna turn this off. They've heard it too many times and they've seen the opposite too many times.
Right, right. Yeah.
So that's very, very true and very much the heart of the city. Like that's very much something that Kadiri would say is that like, look, like we have all interest in talking to these people and trying to make a deal. But at the end of the day, we don't believe for a second that they're going to stick to that stuff.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So they're going to take care of themselves, which is
what we always do.
Yeah.
Was there anything I'm sorry, where are you from? Where'd you grow up?
Guerneville, California.
Oh, Guerneville. Oh,
right on the Russian River. Yeah.
Well, that's like Detroit. So. But
it's,
so,
all, it's by water.
Yeah, that's right. We got water issues. There's poop in the water. In the
who owns the Guerneville water? So was there anything that you, what impression did you have after, how long did you stay in Detroit?
A lot. Like that's, I mean, we have like a crazy, so we do like commercial stuff on the side that like find it like, but like we went to Detroit for 2 years, every month and a half for about a week. Like it doesn't make any sense. It's not financially responsible to operate that way, but it's the way that we, the stuff that you saw in there of Pastor Barry was from like the last two trips. Cause it takes that long for these communities to trust that you're going to get this story right. And then at some point they just like, I was telling Pastor Barry on that car ride that we had back from Lansing. I was like, be honest. Like at some point you just thought there wasn't film in the camera and we were just like wasting it. And he was like, yeah, no, that's like, that's why I stopped.
It's never going to come out.
Yeah. Cause everything that he does up to that is he's trying to get you to give him something because that's what he should be doing. Right. He's like, if you come to his church and you go, hey, what are you guys doing? This is really cool. Like, he's like, give me money.
Do you think he's like, they really want to film this trickle of car wash?
Yeah, he's
coming
like, you
down
don't need to know about my life. Give me money. Yeah. Like, yeah, you see what we're doing. Give me money. That's like, it's survival. It really is real.
You got to buy a sandwich from the deli, you know?
That's right. Yeah.
Corinda, after seeing this doc, how do you feel? Hopeful, skeptical, less than skeptical?
I think it's a mixture of both. I think what made me hopeful was the people. We've seen, you know, generations of resilient people in Detroit. So, you know, I'm hopeful that it'll turn around. But also, you know, we also know what the city of Detroit has done in so many cases when it comes to like land and prosperity and, you know, doing things for people who are poor and lower class. And that's, you know, the track record on that is very, 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 very
clear.
Clear. So, yeah. And I don't see that changing from what you said. Right. So it's a mixture of, you know, bitter and sweet. You know, I'm very, very proud of all the people who are doing so much work in the city of Detroit and trying to keep their neighborhoods afloat and alive. But on the other hand, you know, when they cordon off this area and leave everybody to fend for themselves.
Right.
It's ruthless. You know, that's you know, that's something that we've seen before.
It's like a Walking Dead episode.
Right.
You know? Well, damn.
So we're going to go to questions.
One thing I'm interested in is as Oakland residents, like what you guys see in terms of, because I do think gentrification is something you guys can think about. And one of the big themes in this film that does play out towards that is the idea of the people creating value and then somebody coming in from the outside and capitalizing on that value.
We do want people to go to the mic because we are recording for a podcast, if you don't mind going to the mic.
Please, go ahead. Yeah, please have at it.
Thank you for letting us ask questions. I work for the city and county of San Francisco. I actually work for the Arts Commission there. So I'm here as a private citizen, which I have to say legally. But my question is, the city and county of San Francisco is doing this work with GARE, which is the Government Alliance on Racial Equity. And part of that work is being very explicit about the language we use when we talk about things. And in this panel here, you've used the term gentrification. And one of the most poignant moments in that movie was when there was the community conversation happening about the plan. And that black lady totally called that white man out. And there was no comment about race and no comment about structure. And I just want to know, like, why that was your choice when words are so powerful and speaking our intention is how we get to the next level. That's my question.
I think a lot of the issues in this, because race certainly plays an issue in the city of Detroit. Like, you'd be foolish to think that that's not the case. But what I think is the deeper issue is economics. And that's the thing where Kadiri and I could find common ground, is the idea that, like, look, if you're poor, you're poor and you need help. And if you create a community with other people that, like, is working, and then somebody with assets and resources comes in and takes that away from you, that's the bigger conversation. And I think race can be a quagmire if you start talking about it in that way, because it's actually divisive, even if you're talking about the people you're trying to help. That's where I would stay.
Right on. Any more questions? Anybody? Feel free. Mike's right there.
Bueller. We got someone. We got a question coming up here.
Yeah. About to say, this is a Bay Area. I know you guys have more than one.
I know. Exactly.
She does a show here.
We're dealing
knows.
With racism. We're taking the
it's
whole...
It's Oakland.
I'm actually going on vacation to Detroit this summer, and I was just wondering if you guys could give me some recommendations, especially the native Detroiter, of like where to go and what to check out.
Are you going on vacation just to go, or is there something you're doing there?
Why?
It's gorgeous. There's actually a million things to do. Slow roll. Rent a bicycle. I think it's every Tuesday afternoon.
Go to Belle Isle.
Yes, Belle Isle's gorgeous.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, well, that's privatized. My bad.
And there's a racetrack on it, a bunch of other weird stuff. No, do slow roll. Slow roll, literally Google it. You will have an incredible time bonding with the people of the city of Detroit. I was just talking to Wally, who's a co-pastor with Pastor Barry. He kind of like helps out. And he does that. And he's like, I think he said 30,000 people will show up and they'll bicycle around like an 8 mile and they play music and there's a whole like community thing. I mean, you can rent a bicycle for like $4 and they have those little things like they have in San Francisco and Oakland. Dude, it's incredible.
I would say the Detroit Institute of Art. Definitely, yeah,
that's
go
what
there.
I was gonna say.
There's and a the, pub on wheels.
And the Motown Museum. Please tell me about it. I've never been there.
Absolutely.
Sure. Go check out Pastor Barry's church.
Curious what kind of reactions you've gotten from planners in Detroit, the city of Detroit, and if you've showed that to city planners and engage the community, because I think that your message fundamentally is very powerful, that planners need to hear that the it's the people, there are initiatives bubbling up, and the planners need to understand how those leaders develop and how those ideas and things work. But my other part of, I was going to make an observation that you or the people who are thinking about planning 30 years, when you talk about a 30-year process, you really should look at Oakland over the last 30 years. I've been living here for 30 years exactly. And, 30 years ago, Oakland was pretty bleak in terms of a lot of failed experiments like what they had seen in Detroit. And
have those bleak communities had equity in the future? Like, have they risen along with the tide?
Yeah, so you should look at what has happened and try, the Detroit should try not to make these mistakes that
you were saying that like Oakland did that, right?
Well, no, I mean, some things they got right, some things they didn't, but you know, there's obviously some things you could learn.
Very cool. Yeah. No, I think that's one of the things about this film that does translate. And I will say to Detroit's credit, or Duggan at least, is that he, for the first time, created neighborhood sort of captains. And there are these people who go out and actually look and talk to the community members and form relationships and then bring initiatives that are working in those communities to the mayor. Now, I don't know what they do after that, but at least people feel heard.
We got time for quickies.
So originally, you were going to make a movie about or a film about bankruptcies. Where is the next major bankruptcy going to happen? Because Detroit didn't go bankrupt overnight, right? It was bankrupted over a period of, like you said, 30 years. So that has to be in motion somewhere else.
Definitely. I got off the bankruptcy tip once I got all into community, and that hit me in like my soul. The other thing was in my brain. You know what I mean? I started with a really like brainy idea that I thought was smart. And then I'm not actually hip to what the next bankruptcy deal is.
I was just going to say that I think it's kind of a tangent, but Stockton is trying to do some kind of guaranteed basic income. Do you guys know about that?
I've heard about it.
That sounds good.
Yeah. We'll do a different episode about that. Okay. One more question. Sorry. Yeah.
Well, first I want to just, congratulate you on the filmmaking. I think that you really captured Detroit, and it just brought me back to when I was a little girl, just how amazingly beautiful the city is.
Thank you for that.
And I also think that we need to really look at Detroit as, it's almost like the fall of capitalism or something, because I grew up in this vibrant city. My family, my parents were the first generation from the South. My parents put 7 kids through college, basically. They were able to go to the city and build this, be a part of building this great community. And the government basically just dropped the ball. I mean, so Detroit did not become bankrupt. I think what that guy said was on point. It was bankrupted.
That's very true.
And it continues to happen. I mean, even with Duggan, he was a write-in candidate. I mean, that's the part of the mess, you know, of keeping Detroit poor. And I am nervous about gentrification and what that means for the many, many poor black and brown people in that city. And unless we have that conversation, it will go the way of Oakland. And for me, Oakland, I've been here 30 years. It doesn't feel improved to me. Mm. I mean, it really doesn't. I mean, my neighborhood that was so diverse is now all white. I mean, I go into the grocery store and people are kind of clutching their purses. Mm. So
I just walked through a block away from here, that weird corridor of stuff, which was not here when I was here before. So, but anyway, The Fall of Capitalism, you guys, give it up for that.
That's his next film. That's his next film.
And that's actually all the time we have.
That is all the time we have. But put your hands together for our guests, Corinda Dobbins.
Cool. Tyler Norwood. I'm George Shen.
And I'm Pac Romain. And listen to Sup Doc if you guys like documentaries and comedians and great guests.
Go to supdocpodcast.com. This will be up there at some point. And you'll be like, oh, that was my voice. Okay, so thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Okay.
United States of Detroit will be screening in Washington, D.C. throughout September at the National Museum of African American History and Culture. Check their website for details.
And special thanks to Ben Sinclair of Sky Dojo Media for organizing this event and panel and the new Parkway Theater in downtown Oakland.
You can find out more about SupDoc at supdocpodcast.com. And follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
And please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes.
Our theme song was written by David Siegel, and our show was engineered by Will Scovel.
If you want us to cover a doc, have suggestions for guests, or you just want to reach out, please email us at supdocpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.